be like if suddenly the preacher didn't appear from the side? What would happen? He'd have plenty of people ready for it. But it's good to be back again with you tonight. I've been well fed, more than well fed and watered this day. I don't think I'll need anything more until I get down the road. You couldn't very well go to bed without having a cup of tea with the boss. And she says she's only the boss when I'm there or not there. So whatever way you look at it. But it is good to be with you and have the opportunity of sharing this day with the Word of God. If you have your Bible, turn with me please to a well-known passage in the Scripture, the Acts of the Apostles on chapter 16. The Acts of the Apostles and chapter 16. And we'll read some verses, reading from verse number 14. Verse number 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when our masters saw that the hope of their bonds was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrate, saying, These men being Jews are exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and unto all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Ending there at verse 34, knowing that God will bless the reading of his inspired word for his name's sake. Let's just bow briefly for prayer. Father, we bow in your presence again tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge that we need help. We need the help of heaven. We need the anointing of the Spirit of God. We need the moving of the Spirit in our midst tonight. And our Father, we pray that as we open the truth of your word, that the Spirit of God will open our hearts to understand it and to receive the truth and to apply it and believe it and be sure that our sins have been forgiven. So we commit the rest of the service into your hands in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. Now when we turn to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, 9 times out of 10, we're turning to read about the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And probably a lot of people reading the chapter without really thinking understand that Acts 16 records 3 different conversions. There is the conversion of Lydia. There is the conversion of the damsel, and there is the conversion of the Philippian jailer. And when you look at some of these, you could say concerning Lydia, hers was a sudden conversion because the Lord just opened her heart by that riverside. We could say when we look at the damsel, that her conversion entirely different. She was a rebellious girl. Hers was a rebellious conversion. She was someone who was serving Satan, living for Satan, but still has converted to God. And the third is the Philippine jailer. And the Philippine jailer, he's a strange one. He at first didn't believe a thing. Then he came to faith in Jesus Christ. When you read down this chapter, I want just for a brief few minutes tonight to say a few things in this chapter. 3 conversions. But I want you to notice something which is very important. Before every conversion, there was prayer. Before every conversion, there was prayer. The first time you read in Acts 16, you can see the part that prayer played. Because Paul was attending a prayer meeting. He was attending a prayer meeting. That's the first thing that we learn of in Acts chapter 16. The second conversion you read, that Paul was on his way to a prayer meeting. He was going to pray. And in the third occasion, on the third conversion, Paul himself was having a prayer meeting. And the important thing of Acts 16 is this. We can talk about people being saved. We can talk about conversions. But we need to notice the great part prayer played in these conversions. Different people with different backgrounds and different needs. But it needed as much grace for Lydia to be saved as for the girl that was possessed to be saved and the jailer to be saved. and were so many different backgrounds, many different problems, many difficulties, many confusing situations all around us. But let me say tonight, it'll take as much grace to save you as it did to save me. It will. And as we look down this chapter, we discover the importance, can I emphasize it, the importance of prayer preceding conversion. The importance of prayer preceding conversion. So often we're inclined to come with what I call a shopping list. Now, don't misunderstand me tonight. Now that I'm retired, I'm looking at things from outside looking in. For many years, I was on the inside looking out. Now I'm on the outside looking in. And I discovered this, that so often when we come to pray, it's like a ritual. It's like a shopping list. We're asking God to do so much for us, but we never think of praising God for what he has already done, what he has already done. And Paul is at the prayer meeting when this lady from Lydia comes. She's at the prayer meeting. And she doesn't know the Lord. See, we're inclined to think that everybody that's in the prayer meeting and everybody that's in our service on the Lord's day, that they're all Christians. But here's a lady was at the prayer meeting and she didn't know the Lord. And it behoves every one of us, even when we're in the house of God, to be absolutely sure that we know the Lord, that we've had a personal encounter with the Lord. Isn't it sad to see in present day how little emphasis we lay on prayer? When you go back to the early church, and if you read through the Acts of the Apostles and see how God worked, and answer the question, why did so many miraculous things happen in the early church? Because the early church was a church at prayer. And we need to learn to get back to praying. Prayer precedes conversion in each of these cases. We want to see people saved, but we don't want to pray. We expect to see God move, but we don't want to disturb ourselves to come to pray. We want to take it easy, leave that to everybody else. But no, it's tremendous when you know that the God you serve is a God who answers prayer. He is a miraculous working God. Not so long ago, in our own situation, we had a young man, and well, he was about 20-ish, around about 20-ish, and he had been rushed into hospital. And the reply or the word from the hospital was, he is between life and death. They couldn't give any assurance that he would make it through the night. And so it was in the evening, and we phoned around, called the church to prayer, told them the hall was open, we're going for a prayer meeting. And we prayed, and we prayed into the early hours of the morning until we had the assurance in our hearts that God was answer prayer. And praise God, that's exactly what he did. He answered a prayer, raised him up, and he's still attending the fellowship even today, fitter than ever. Why? Because God responds to the pleading and the praying of his own people when it comes to situations like this. We had a man in Ballykeel for 12 nights, flew him in from the United States, and it was quite a character. Ballykeel had up to 300 people there every night for 12 nights. He was a tremendous man. He actually was a comedian before he was saved. So it suited me. But he had one problem. And his problem was this. He had a son who was a drug addict and a drug pusher. And he said he was away preaching. And when he was staying from the hotel, he was speaking with his wife. And his wife said, "Your son is at the street corner. And he's selling drugs. And he's using drugs. And you're away preaching. And people are wondering, how can it be that you could be away preaching to tell others of their need of the gospel when your own son is on the street corner selling drugs?" They said, "I just closed the door in my room in the hotel and I got before God and I pleaded with God to save my boy. Pleaded with him." He says, "I spent the night before God." And he says, "About 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a deep peace came over my soul. And I knew that God was going to respond to my plea. God had promised he would save his boy." He said, "One night, in a meeting, my boy wanders in. My boy wanders in. And he says, not only did he wander in, but he got gloriously saved. And he says, not only was he gloriously saved, but he hasn't had drugs in his hand or in his pocket ever since. God delivered him completely. God delivered him completely." That's the God we're talking about tonight. Moving in response to the prayers of God's people. God does answer prayer. And if you learn nothing else tonight, learn this. Before there were any conversions, in the Acts of the Apostles, there was prayer. There was prayer. That's how it started. That's how it started. So you can see the part prayer played. Each occasion started with prayer. And God miraculously moved through the prayers of his people. Now you may be here tonight. You may be young and life's ahead of you. And you don't know what direction to turn. And the whole of society is almost opposed to you tonight. Peer pressure is coming upon you tonight. And the lure of the world you form within your mind, I'm missing so much that I hear all my friends talk about. Missing so much. When I was working in Belfast, and you need to use that phrase very guardedly, when I was working, because some people think you don't work. You know, they're constantly, when they see you sometimes, maybe see you out and you're having a cup of coffee with someone and they just come over to the table and they look at you and they say, "It's well for you." You only work one day a week. I says, will you please remember this? She says, what? I says, remember, you only pay me for one day. But people need the Lord. And we need to bring them to the Lord. We need to lift them up before the Lord. And we need to believe in our hearts that the Lord that we're lifting them up before is the God who does miraculous things. I'm saying some things in the house today, when I look back over my life, some of the miraculous things I've seen God do, and I never thought they were miraculous at the time. Never thought. Told you this morning about the two atheists who drifted in one night, got gloriously saved, now in charge of the outreach. As a wayward son, as I said this morning, my mother wept. She wept for her wayward son, her prodigal son. Always remember the day the prodigal came home. And she was just a wee woman. She was small. But when I went in and she says, well, what did they say this time? Because I'd just come from the hospital. Had me both arms broken twice each and suspected broken neck. So I was no stranger. I says, it doesn't matter. What do you hear this? I says, I got saved this morning. I met Jesus. Boy, she leapt out of the chair, small as she was, and she lifted me up and she bowled around. I thought she'd become a Pentecostal for the day. She had us wheeling around the kitchen, rejoicing that God had answered her prayer. I want to stress that tonight. God does answer prayer. He does. My eldest daughter went to university. Went down the road that so many young people do. And one night we had to call at the university to leave something in, and we saw the notice on the door for her from somebody else, meet you in the bar. My wife was so disturbed. She was so disturbed. And she said to me, what are we going to do? I says, we're not going to preach at her. If we preach at her, she'll not come home. But we're going to pray for her. And even when she lay at night in bed wondering about her daughter, I just says, we'll do what my mom did. We'll pray for her. We'll pray for her. And I'll tell you, one night the phone rang. And I lifted the phone. She's on the other end of the phone. She says, Daddy, it's me. I says, what's wrong, love? She says, I'm just ringing you to tell you tonight, I met the Lord. There's nothing in the world that can satisfy. This is it tonight. Now, can I just take a moment and digress and say, parents tonight, have you got a wayward son, wayward daughter? God answers prayer. God answers prayer, and he can do what no other can do. What a glorious God we have. So you can see the part prayer played in the conversion of these people. I want you to see the people that prayer affected. See, three different people, three different backgrounds. I suppose in a sense we could say about Lydia, as she's portrayed at the prayer meeting, she was a religious woman. She had a bit of religion about her. That's one of the things you discover when people ask you what you do. People ask you what you do. And when they find out that you're a minister or a pastor, their immediate reaction is, you know what? I never miss songs of praise. That's the oldest relaxed. I never miss songs of praise. Try to bring a wee bit of religion into their conversation. Never miss songs of praise. And sometimes when you see what's on some of these things, you'd be better missing them. But that's beside the point. Beside the point. But when you come, a religious woman who was upright, good living, she was at the prayer meeting to worship a God she had heard about, but a God she never knew. She heard about him, but she never knew him. And you might even be like that tonight. You love coming to the church, love singing the hymns, love meeting with the people of God. But tonight, as you sit in your seat, you could say, I'm religious, but I have not got the reality of God's salvation. Not really sure. I've got religion. I know the songs. I love the reading. I know the gospel. I never miss a meeting. But you're not saved. Not saved. This woman was in the house where prayer was made, and she didn't know the God to whom she was praying. Hey, do you know the Lord personally tonight? I'm not asking if you know about him. I'm asking, do you know him? Do you know him personally tonight as your Savior and as your Lord? Here, but still not saved. Here, but still not saved. We had one family in our church, and they were in their 70s, some of them in their 80s, the connection. And their father had been a deacon in the church many years ago. And they were all going through life not knowing the Lord. And the one that was left never missed 87. And praise God, just a few months ago he got saved. Just then. My wife comes from an unsaved family. Not even a church-going family. And I was in the United States, I was telling them today, and I was phoned home to see if everything was all right. And she said, something strange happened last night. I said, what happened? She says, the light in the bedroom went on, and Mum went in to see what was wrong and found Daddy on his knees. And she thought that he'd fell out of bed. And she said, what has happened? He says, I'm just making my peace with God. 80 years of age. Just making my peace with God. You see what I'm trying to emphasize tonight? The importance of prayer when it comes to conversion. When it comes to conversion. If I were to ask you individually tonight, or even as a church tonight, when's the last time you saw a soul saved? When's the last time you even spoke to someone about their soul? It's challenging. And if we hadn't have been seeing people saved in the church, haven't been asking questions, what's wrong? Something's got to be wrong if God's not working. Are we hindering him? Or have we just become lazy, that we don't want to have to exercise ourselves beyond the bounds of meeting like this? The second person that received the prayer affected was a rebellious girl. I call her rebellious because she was demon-possessed. She was under the control of Satan. Satan's power was controlling her, and Satan was making money through her. Making money through her. And you can read about that. And this woman, gripped by an addiction, under the control of Satan's power, one day, prayer was made, and this demon-possessed woman was delivered. Delivered by the power of God. I don't think we are aware of the satanic influence that there is in our society today. What children are being faced with and confronted with. As I said, both my daughters teach in the high school, and one of their own children, a granddaughter of mine, teaches there too. And there were people around last week giving out leaflets to prevent the young people from getting the job, telling them not to take it. Do you know why they were saying don't take it? Because they're actually injecting Satan into your life. That's what their leaflets. In fact, the police had to come to move them out of the road. And I could say to them, listen, you're not injecting Satan into their life. Satan's already there. He's already there. It's his power that's gripping so many lives, causing so many addictions, causing so many breakups. And family life. And the only power that can deliver them is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel. What mighty power is the power of the gospel? Preaching in the north of England, I was, and tell you the truth, I was on my way home from holiday, and we had met these people in the south of England, and they said, why don't you stop with us? We are up just outside Carlisle and you can stay for the weekend. And when we were going up, we decided we would stay for the weekend. I thought, free bed and breakfast, sure you couldn't get any better. And we stopped on the way in, and then when you sit down, she says, there's just one thing. I said, what is it? She says, the pastor wants you to preach tomorrow. So I went, and on the Sunday night, as I was preaching, there was an unearthly cry from a fellow in the congregation. An unearthly cry. And it turned out that he had been involved in the occult. I had a long conversation with him, and he told me things that happened when he was in the occult. They say to me, I would take my girlfriend home at night, and I would hear the door open, I would hear the door close, and I would say, who's that? She says, oh, it's okay, it's only my daddy. He comes home every night. He's dead, but he comes home every night. The experience of being lifted. I wouldn't tell you half the things he told me tonight. It would frighten the life out of you if you were going home. But that night, he met Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ set him free. 2 years later, I was again in England, and I called it the house. It's just a nice spot in England. If you're looking a cup of tea on the way down or a wee break, you can just stop. And again, we were stopping overnight. And again, she said, will you do the prayer meeting tomorrow night? I thought it was free accommodation, but I had to work for it. Then this fellow came up after the prayer meeting. Nice suit on, well dressed. And he said, do you remember me? I said, no, I'm sorry, I don't really. It's so changed. He says, I'm the fella that was here and was delivered by the power of the gospel. He says, this is my mother. And the mother was standing beside him, and she says, he came home and she says, we don't go to church. We usually just bring drink into the house, sit around the fire and we drink. And he comes in and talks about going to church and something about seed. We hadn't a clue what he was talking about. And then she says, he encouraged me if I would come to church with him. And I went with him and I got saved. And he said, my sister was married to a soldier in Germany. And she was home for holiday. And I took her to church and he got saved. Or she got saved. And when I went back to Germany, I took my husband to a service in Germany. And he got saved. What power is there in the gospel? It all started with the servant of God on his way to a prayer meeting to pray for the intervention of God. That's the mighty God we have tonight. And the mighty God who can do miracles tonight. When you take the third man, the Philippine jailer, well, he was fast asleep. He was neglecting his duty. How many people come to church for a sleep? I tell you, see, when you're in the pulpit, you see everything. And sometimes you look over the congregation and you see people with their eyes closed. And then you see the head go forward a wee bit. And you know they're on their way. And then all of a sudden they realize they're in church and they go like this. And they attract the attention of the preacher. And he sees all the sleepers waking up. I used to sing in a gospel group many years ago. And we used to go to this meeting twice maybe a year in Sandy Row in Belfast. Well, you need to know the kind of people that you get around that area. And we used to go to church. The wee man that ran the hall, when he handed the meeting over to you, he used to go right down to the back door and lift out a chair, sit at the back door, fold his arms, close his eyes, and away went. So one night for badness, you shouldn't do this. But I suppose I was a young convert then, never thought about this. So we decided one night we'd call him to close in prayer, see what he said. Because he slept the whole way through. No, I started to pray. We thank you, Lord, for the refreshing time we have had in your presence. Sleeping. Now, it's amazing the number of people who come to church and sleep. They hear nothing. They hear nothing. When you see this jailer, Paul and Silas are praying and they're praising. This man has been neglecting his duty. He was asleep. Slept the whole way through. And suddenly, God intervened. You see, when God intervenes, he intervenes in ways we never dream of. Who ever would have dreamt that he would shake the prison? Who ever dreamt it? Who ever dreamt he would lift this girl up that was demon possessed and set her free. It's amazing what our God can do. But prayer was the key. At the prayer meeting, going to the prayer meeting, having a prayer meeting, and what you see is how God works. God works. The woman, her heart was just opened to the Lord. It's a simple conversion, if I can use that expression. Although it took as much grace to save her as it did to save the jailer. But it was simple. Her heart just opened. There was no flashing lights from heaven. Her heart just opened. When you take the girl, my, what a conversion she had. When Satan was cast out of her and she was freed from her addiction, freed from her bondage, freed from all that was holding her back, the power of the gospel. I tell you tonight, we have got a message that should be preached more in our province today, that God changes lives. And God not only changes lives, God blots out the transgressions from the past. And God makes us new creations in Jesus Christ. What a way. You see, when he said to Paul, "What must I do to be saved?" What did Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Here's a man who's about to commit suicide, take his own life. But Paul prayed for him, and God responded to Paul's prayer, and God delivered him. That's our God tonight. But a businessman, one morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, my phone went. And you know, when you're lying there at 2 o'clock in the morning and your phone rings, it's not anybody ringing you to ask you how you're doing. 2 o'clock in the morning. My, somebody rings you at 2 o'clock in the morning for no reason, you could lose your testimony down the phone. But this voice, sobbing voice, "Jackie, can I talk to you?" "Sure," I said. "You want me to go and see you?" "No, I'm coming to see you. Coming to see you." Came, it was nearly 2 o'clock in the morning when I opened the door, brought him in, into the study. And I was saying, "What's your problem?" He says, "Tonight, I had the rope over a trestle in the garage. I had my head in the noose. And I was about to finish it, when a voice seemed to say, 'Would you not talk to Jackie first?' For 2 hours, we opened the scriptures, showed him his need, told him about a Savior who has already conquered death and broken Satan's power. And after 2 hours, he came through for Christ. And I tell you tonight, he's still walking with God." That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the gospel. On the other side of that, and I'll finish after, I'll tell you this. I could go on for a while yet, but I was asked to go and see a man in hospital who was 80. He's one of those men you go and he's sitting at the side of the bed and he's sitting bent over. And I actually had to get down on my knee and look up into his face. And he had a kind of a gruffy old voice. And he just says, "Who are you? Who are you?" I says, "My name's Hughes and I'm from the Baptist Church." "Oh." And we get in the conversation. And I said to him, "Tell me, is it true that you grew up in the Brethren?" He says, "That's right." I says, "Is it true that you know the gospel?" He says, "That's right." I says, "Is it true that you know you need to be saved?" He says, "Yes." I says, "You are 80 years old, 10 years into borrowed time, and you know that you need to be saved. I don't need to preach to you, you know." He says, "Son, I intend to get saved. I intend to get saved." I went back in the morning to see him again. I said to my wife, "He's dying." And I went back to see him again. And I went over the same story. "You're brought up in the Brethren. You know the gospel. You know you need to be saved. Do you not think it's about time you were getting saved? 10 years into borrowed time, I'm not saved." He said, "Son, I intend to get saved." I said, "Tell me, what will I tell the woman who asked me to call and see you?" Here's what his response was. "Tell her, almost persuaded. Tell her, almost persuaded." To think that somebody could be in the Grange Baptist Church tonight, almost persuaded. You've been prayed for. Preach to, and you're almost persuaded. But as the old hymn said, almost cannot avail. Almost is but the fail. Sad, sad the bitter wail. Almost but lost. Don't go out almost tonight. Go out altogether persuaded. Make your peace with God and make your eternity secure in the Savior's name." Let's bow to prayer and prayer. While we bow in the presence of God and in the stillness of the meeting tonight, let me tell you, somebody has been praying for you. But what effect will that prayer have on your life? Will your heart be opened up to receive the Christ of the gospel? Something that's holding you back tonight, you feel, "I've got an addiction that I cannot break." Tonight, Jesus Christ can break the power of canceled sin and set you free. Maybe you haven't really come tonight to listen. It's just the usual thing you do, come to a service on Sunday night. But you don't listen, you don't concentrate. But tonight, the Spirit of God has gripped your heart. Why not respond to the call of the Master and call upon the Lord? For whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why not do it tonight? Just where you sit, just as you sit, come and make your peace with God. If we can help you, we'd love to help you. We would love to lead you to Christ tonight. Pray with you, talk with you, weep with you. Whatever it takes to get you through for God in the meeting tonight. Father, we thank you for your word is truth. And our Father, as your word has been opened and simply expounded tonight, we pray that the Spirit of God will do what we cannot do. Bring conviction into the hearts of those who have been listening. And grant our Father that as a result of us gathering in this manner tonight, that all heaven will rejoice over some sinner from the grange making their way home to the Father's house. We commend the issues of the service into your hands. And Father, as we separate now, we pray that you'll take us all home in safety and watch over us as we journey tonight, because we ask it in the Savior's precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. If you want to speak with us, just stay. We'll be glad to talk to you.